Hey everyone, Shane here. Just a quick editor's note. We did record this podcast on August 2nd, so that's why you'll hear us say things like next weekend at Bark River when Bark River is actually this weekend. Anyways, here's the show.
You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amswell.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm Shane Stetsny. I'm here with Brent Smith, just like always over the last 3 years. Brent, wild weekend in Lena. I think the story everybody's talking about in the viral video of the weekend, Kyle Greaves, what a wild crash in round 7, and then to bounce back in round 8, like a 12-hour turnaround, he was back on the racetrack.
Yeah, that's just amazing. I mean, just heartbreaking what he went through. I mean, the racing's really, really compacted on that track. It's tight, it's technical, and he went for one hell of a ride, Shane, and I was very scared how that top of the cab hit the ground so hard. But hey, like you said, they bounced back, they went home, they spent hours in the shop, did so much work. I couldn't even imagine how many hours they put in of work that they only got about 12 hours to do it in. I mean, it's just crazy what that group does. And to come back and win, that just shows you how great of a team, how well they're put together, and how competitive that team is week in and week out, Shane. It's awesome. I mean, I'm glad he's okay. He's rough. He's hurting. He's a little sore. But, man, how can you stop that team?
So in the notes for this podcast, The bullet point just says Kyle Greaves is built different. And that, like you said, that applies to the whole team and how well-oiled of a machine their whole team is. But him personally, I mean, the amount of damage on the truck, you know, I remember looking at those A-pillars on the passenger side and they were like, you know, bent like a taco shell. And I'm like, oh man, you know, that's a big uphill climb just to come back for Bark River. And then rumblings from other people that had seen Kyle walking around after that. And they're like, man, that dude looks like he's in bad shape. Like, he's walking around, but he's not having a good time. And then I saw him walking around, and I'm like, oh, man. Like, yeah, he looked beat up. He looked like he just got done with a 12-round title fight or something. And then to hear the next day, like, oh, yeah, they're trying to get the truck back. And then there was rumors of someone else jumping in the seat. And then, you know, he went out for that quick shakedown lap in the intermission. I'm like, okay. Somehow they managed to, like you said, they cut off big portions of the top half of the cage overnight, basically worked through the night to get it all put back together, still made it out there. But the physical toll on Kyle, that's just unreal. And we saw him, he basically needed help getting out of the truck after the race. It's crazy that he was able to put up with, you know, that kind of abuse on Saturday, you know, sleep maybe half the night and then get up on Sunday and go back at it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, he probably didn't sleep very, very much. And I mean, mentally what he went through, and you could see the emotion when he won in round 8, he was so excited. Sure. And in a sad way, it's weird to say, but he was emotionally just like, man, how did we do that? What we went through, overcame. And I'm telling you, they didn't just show up yesterday, Shane. They've been around a long time, and that's what good teams do. They do everything in their power to make sure that truck's out there. Remember, they had CJ that was going to hop in just to get them points. And Kyle's like, yeah, we'll be all right. You know, in his own head, he's probably like, well, I need to bounce back, not only for the team, for myself. Because if you sit out for a little bit of time, it kind of can get in your head.
Right. And I remember the comment that I made during the race on Sunday in round 8 when he was leading the race. I said, you know, if this is how quickly he can bounce back from something like that, it almost feels like a championship is just undeniable. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, it would be scary to be in that class knowing that that's how much determination that group has. And the interest they have is just over the top. They do not stop it. And not only when he has his bad weekends, it's when he has the good ones too. I mean, they are always on point, always making sure that truck is prepped and never breaks. And he goes out and wheels that thing. And the stuff that he does in off-road racing, not only as a driver, but as a builder slash fabricator, I mean, he's freaking talented.
So let's talk a little bit about Pro Light as a whole. We don't have to really rehash the incident that led to Greaves' crash. I think, like I said, that video has been all over the internet, you know, twice around the world by now. All the unofficial race officials in the comments have already decided whose fault it was, so we don't have to talk as much about that. But the rest of ProLite Racing, especially Sunday, the chaos going on behind Kyle out on the racetrack in round eight, it was getting, you know, really physical to the point where you and I were kind of looking at each other like, oh boy, this is, you know, this is about to go way too far. What do you think the rest of the season looks like for ProLite?
Carnage fest? No. I mean, we talked about it, and I remember I was going back and watching some of our replays there on our highlights, and you said it's like a demolition derby, and it really was. And I hope it's not like that the rest of the season, but you're going to still have your guys going at it, and there's going to be spots where they make contact. Park River, it's a great fast track, but you got to remember, a lot of the spots is one lane track. So if you want to get by, what did we say at Lena? You know, you might have to muscle your way through. And I think the rest of the season, you're going to see a dogfight. Like we say, the gloves are off.
Do you remember that crazy pro light race at Bark River last year? I mean, you don't have to say much more than that. Just go back and look. I don't remember which day it was, but there was an absolutely carnage filled race. I think maybe four or five trucks finished out of, you know, 14 or however many started that race.
Yeah, the first lap, I believe it was. I don't remember what round it was as well, but I mean, they were taking each other's bedsides off, and the trucks were just looked like they went through a war early, and you can't do that. I mean, I love racing. I love every bit of it. We love calling a crazy race like that, but at the end of the day, if you want to move forward, you really got to stay out of carnage, and if you want to catch a guy like Kyle Greaves, not taking away nothing away from any of the ProLite guys, but if you want to catch Kyle, you better keep your truck clean and your nose clean and your tie rod straight, because if you get any hiccup in your own ride, you'll never touch him.
Right, and I think that's the lasting memory for me from that round eight race is, like you said, we love calling an exciting race, and contact, you know, we are fans first, we're fans in front of microphones, basically, so we see contact, it's exciting. Physical, aggressive racing that doesn't cross the line is phenomenal, and we love it, and that's kind of baked into the DNA of off-road racing. But there was some guys driving mad, and they were hunting for other trucks more than they were driving on the racetrack, and that's not cool. Like, I'm, you know, that disappoints me a little bit to see that reach that level.
Yeah, and I totally get what you're saying. I remember you saying it throughout the weekend, you know, it's... You just don't want people to take each other out, but it's going to happen, and I don't like it. I think, hey, you know, that just looks bad on your own resume later in the year or yes, down the road. Nobody wants to see a guy take no one out. I mean, look back in the day, right, Shane? We have Rob McCracken. We had Jason Baldwin. We had Kurt LeDuc.
Yep, that's the name I was thinking of.
Yeah, and he roughed guys up, and hey, that was what he did. He didn't take people out, but he roughed them up because he wanted to know, hey, Mr. LeDuc's coming through.
Right, and you can race that aggressively and still be respectful, but I don't know, man. It's not for me to say. There was some disrespectful racing out there, and you can tell that, you know, for those of you listening, Brent and I are being really careful about not pointing any fingers, because there was a few drivers that you know, share responsibility for that. But, man, I hope those guys clean that up, because that class, when it is physical and aggressive but doesn't cross that line, ProLite is as fun as any class to watch, and probably as fun as any class I've seen in the last handful of years.
Yeah, it's a blast. I love watching it. We love doing the play-by-play during the race. I mean, it is fun. It's active, but at the same time, hey, you're running with $70,000-$80,000 pro lights, if not more, and they drive them like they're $500. And I'll keep saying it if they want to keep driving that way. I really think we clean it up. We've seen great racing in the past, and there's great drivers in it. It's just we got to get this group to realize, hey, put on a show, but don't take each other out, because it's no fun. You can see us in the booth. If you're watching from down below, Shane and I are always punching each other, and that's one of our bummer punches, is when somebody takes each other out, because we're like, man, two good trucks don't get a shot at it.
Right. I guess what we're trying to say is fight nice, boys. Just clean it up just a little bit. Well, another fight that's been really fun to watch this year is Pro 4, surprisingly. And there was only six trucks at Dirt City over this past weekend, but all six trucks put on a really great show. And how about Jimi Henderson successfully holds off CJ Greaves yet again and wins another race? That's three on the season. He is here. He is established. And what I've seen, and I think I made this comment to you when we were talking on the phone the other day, there is confidence there now where he's not afraid of anybody, and he will throw that truck anywhere he has to keep his position or get his way up to the front.
Yeah, I like what you say, confidence, and that's what he's gained over the last couple years. And, I mean, this season, he has a lot of confidence. He's not cocky. He's just very, very smart. He's a great race car driver, and he's got a great team, great setup. Everything about it is really, really good, and that's where he puts himself in the racing deal. He wants to be up front, and I think he's put the time in. We've talked about it multiple times. Hey, he's putting test hours in when people aren't, and he's really showing it, and I give him credit. I don't have favorites. I'm telling you right now, we want to see great racing, and Jimi Henderson is mixing up the pot, and I love it.
Yeah, and part of me thinks too, Brent, and I don't want to speak for Jimmy, obviously, but I wonder if there was a little bit of self-doubt, you know, maybe not self-doubt, but just frustration. Like, for so many years, he was so close, you know, he had the pace, and then couldn't quite get the job done and get that first win out of the way. Like I said, after he got the first one, or that weekend sweep back in Crandon, I just wonder if the mental side changed quite a bit, where he's like, okay, I not only can I run up front, but I deserve to be up here. I've put in the work. I've shown that I can be up here. I've gotten a win on the record now. How much do you think that comes into play? Just, again, it comes back to confidence more than anything, but it frees you up that much more, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely, and that's what it does. And, I mean, once you start winning and know you can win, you start thinking of different opportunities and different options with your program. Like, your truck's good enough to be up front, so now, hey, we can really dig deep. Where are we going to critique the truck on this track this year more than we did last year? Because, hey, we're winning. So let's try to get an edge. Kyle LeDuc, been friends with him a long time, and he always was that guy going, hey, we were 6/10 of a second faster. We were a second faster. But guess what? Next year, we're going to be probably the same speed. So we know we got to dig and go find something else. And I think that's where he's at right now in his program. And it's scary because he's fast already.
Yeah, and I think even looking at the points, I mean, he's in the points chase. You know, a smaller class, it's easier to stay close because a bad day isn't, you know, you don't land in 16th when you have a bad day. You're just in, you know, 5th in Pro 4. That's just part of what comes with a smaller class. But he's right there in the points chase. Obviously, he can win races. Obviously, he can outrun CJ and beat CJ in heads-up racing. Is he an actual threat to win the championship this year, 2023?
Oh, absolutely. I know he is. He's going to be there until the end. And I'm saying, you can't count out Jimi Henderson. That 44 United Rentals ride is bad fast, sounds wicked, and he can drive it. I think he has a shot, and I know. I'm not saying I think, Jimmy. I know he has a shot at the championship at the end of the year.
You know, the other side of it, as this rivalry between him and CJ gets a little bit spicier, it seems like every weekend, it reminds me a little bit of 2020 when Kyle LeDuc came back here to race in the Midwest after racing out West. And after that season, CJ Greaves basically admitted, like, yeah, Kyle LeDuc came back to the Midwest and basically punched us in the mouth, and we weren't ready for the heightened level of competition. I'm not saying CJ's not ready for how quickly Jimi Henderson's come on, but it just reminds me of that.
Right, like, right.
You know, just when you think it's the CJ and Johnny Greaves show, obviously Johnny, you know, dealing with injuries and whatnot this year, but, you know, I think the fans probably thought, well, Kyle's sidelined. Well, it's another CJ Greaves, you know, he's going to clean house. Nope, because Jimi Henderson all of a sudden shows up and is right in this thing.
Yeah, and I've heard multiple people over the off season coming into this year, and then when LeDuc announced he wasn't coming out, they're like, oh, it's all a CJ Greaves show. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, how do you bet against CJ Greaves, you know? And how do you not say he's going to win every weekend? It's just, hey, Jimmy proved a point, and hey, I think anyone has a shot at it, and Jimmy's proven he belongs up front. And I think that he's doing what he needs to do, and I know he is right there. And Bark River, when he can really stretch his legs out in those back sections and get into the groove, into the flow, I like to call it, at Bark River, he might be really tough to beat if he gets out front early.
It's going to be fun to watch. We know that much. Another class that I want to single out, actually just one driver I want to single out. How about Aaron Holiday making it back on the podium? We had him on the podcast last year after that first career win in Super Stock Truck. And then I think it was like a week and a half later, he went to ERX, broke his back. He was out for the rest of last year and finally gets back on the podium. Obviously, he's fast enough to be there. Took a little while to get the rust knocked off. Lands on the podium in round eight. You saw the emotion, you know, the tears on the podium. You could tell that's a guy that has really overcome a lot. I mean, what a great story that is. And we couldn't be happier to see him back up there.
Yeah, we love all our racers in the sport, Shane. And it's hard to see someone go through such pain and just be bummed out after such a crazy crash and have to overcome all that and then bounce back and to see that emotion on the podium. I just love it. I just think it's so great for him. And he's looking up in the bigger classes and there's rumors going around. And I'm not trying to start anything, but I just heard stuff from other people. And that's just cool that he's involved that much. And he did a great job. And for him to be back up on the box, we talk about that confidence. Watch out for Holiday now. Now that he's got that confidence back, that he feels comfy in that truck, he's going to be fast the rest of the year.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, we knew he was fast, and we also knew, and you know, even conversations I had with him in the off season, a couple times I ran into him, it would be a little bit. I mean, to come back from not only the injury, but just being out of the truck for a little while, it takes some time, but great to see him back. That's one more wicked fast guy in Super Stock, by the way, that just in case you thought there wasn't enough competitive drivers there. Well, anyways, Brent, next up on the schedule, your hometown, Bark River, rounds 9 and 10. Just like every other track that we've been to this year, there's some track changes, and you were out there just even literally today as we're recording. Tell us about what's different out there, both on the track, and there's some improvements to the off-track parts of Bark River, to that facility. So give us the rundown.
Well, Bark River, you know, I've been around it my whole life, lived in town my whole life, and I love it to death. I love all of our tracks, but it just has my heart, Bark River, because just going there as a kid, riding my pedal bike down there multiple times a summer just to see if someone is testing. And I was talking to one of Johnny Holger's crew members, and I was just talking like, hey, you know, I used to ride my dang pedal bike all the way down here, see someone test, and then have to ride it all the way back. And then we'd be so excited. We'd hear them from my parents' house again, and we'd ride them all the way back. So, I mean, it's just how it was as a kid. It was amazing. And to be there today to watch testing, it brought back all those memories and thought of you a lot, Shane, too, because I know Crandon feels the same way for you. You love Bark yep. River as well. But just that feeling of being there, it's like I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about it because that's the love and the passion we have for our tracks and our sport. And what went on at Bark River was awesome. John Holger ran all day. Mickey Thomas was there a couple days ago as well. And John Greaves was putting in some laps. So it's cool to see the facility being used before the weekend. Got me excited again for Bark River. And they're doing a lot of changes. I mean, they were working on that hill and the VIP section. And I went in where we're announcing, dude. Like, you know us. It's a long walk at everywhere where we go to just go use the restroom. And it's like 6 feet away. I mean, they weren't lying. So it's cool to have everything. I mean, air conditioning, TVs, all revamped, all redone. And the track, they've done some changes after the big hill jump. They made a tabletop after that right-hander. They're going to make some changes with it as well because they really weren't getting any air. So you know me, Shane, I went up. I was like, hey, you know, like they should be getting a little bit more air. Not crazy air where it's going to break a car, but they're just going over a roller. So those three jumps were kind of I don't know what I'd like to call it, but like a section where, you know, someone could fumble and you could take that ball away and
right.
pass them. You know what I mean? Just, I love that old section, but hey, they're trying new things and they're doing a great job. I mean, I could go on for hours about Bark River, but they're doing the right things. The place looks phenomenal. I mean, everyone's doing awesome and they're excited for this coming weekend. And so am I.
Man, you got me all excited. I'm ready to take off and get up there tomorrow. And then I just remembered that it's actually a week from today. So thanks a lot for that. But I will say I like that it's about damn time us announcers get some good VIP treatment. So they built a new building that I assume is just for us. I know there's some other rooms in there that other people might use, but it's about time. Thanks, Bark River. We appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was all joking, by the way. I'm going to be getting calls from other tracks. Zach Zagar is going to be calling. What, you don't like that tower?
We want a rotating tower, Zach. No.
So, spill the beans. Anyways, how did John Holter look in that Pro 4? You were out there. You got the firsthand look. You're the first non-Holter team member to see him drive it. So, what did it look like?
Well, it looked good. I mean, he looked comfortable. As me and Trevor, his crew chief for the Pro Light, were talking that, hey, you know, he didn't look like any different than if CJ or Johnny or Jimmy Henderson laced it up and took some laps. Honestly, he wasn't pushing it 100%. He was giving us probably 75-80, right. But he was doing his thing. You know, I mean, you could tell if he's going to get it or not get it. And he was ripping, and it kind of gave me goosebumps because that exhaust and everything sounded like Kyle Duke's truck back in the day. Just that six-speed freaking sequential is just so sick to not only feel it, but hear that motor just dip in and out of the throttle and launch off those big jumps. I'm telling you, the fans and the racers, they're in for a treat. We say it every year, but they're sending it. I think Johnny went past 180 feet in the Pro Light. He was doing 200 plus in the Pro 2. I mean, it Jeez. Was just sending it. They weren't wide open, but I mean, that's how far you get off that hill. And the sections that change back and forth and the going in the back by the cemetery turn, I went and walked it today. It's amazing how narrow it is. Like, I mean, video game, in person, it looks wider, but you put a couple trucks out there, I think body panels are going to be optional once again. I love every bit of it, and the Lions Club is doing a great job getting it prepped. I mean, they're throwing a lot of water down, and again, Mother Nature dropped them water last night, and they didn't get to start until like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But Johnny got some good, healthy laps in, and the Pro 4, and I think he's going to be ready. Those trucks will go home, get prepped, and it's going to be a dogfight with all those three classes.
Yeah, and we said this on the during racing at Dirt City when we kind of helped Johnny break the news that he was going to be jumping into the Pro 4 up there. It was only a year ago he was up there debuting that Pro 2, and it was a big, scary challenge, and then he went out there and won this first race in the truck. So, and we're not making promises for him to do that in Pro 4, but you've told me this, you know, you're close with Johnny Holter. You think that he's just more comfortable in the big trucks than he is in the Pro Light. And I can understand that because the way the Pro Lights handle and how narrow they are, they're a handful to make it around the track with any kind of speed. But he just seems really comfortable in the Pro 2, and I think that'll translate to the Pro 4.
Yeah, and I think it already has. I mean, I've talked to him quite a bit, and today as well. I mean, we're talking Thursday week before Bark River, and he just said he feels comfy in the Pro 2. The Pro 4, he's like, it's an animal. It's a handful, which we all know. Mm-hmm. And people that are sitting at home that don't know a Pro 4, I mean, anytime you're running 850, 900 horse, 200 plus horsepower per tire, it's going to rip it out of your hands no matter if you have power steering or not. And I think he'll overcome that. He was just getting his feet wet. But, I mean, for getting your feet wet and ripping as fast as he was going, he was sending it. I mean, He was running the times that they were on Sunday at Bark River in Pro 4, so not saying those times will stick from this year, but he's in the ballpark, so he's swinging the bat.
Yeah, Brent, I'm totally looking forward to see Johnny Holter make his debut. There's rumors of some other guys making jumps into upper classes, Bark River. Also hearing rumors of a former Pro 4 and Pro 2 driver coming back out for the rest of this year to join the party in Pro 2 once again. Again, these are all hearsay and, you know, heard through the grapevine stuff, so we can't spill the beans on any of that yet, but fields should be a little bit bigger than they were at Dirt City, which is great. And there's going to be a very special guest at Bark River as well, and you know that the Champ social media pages have already teased it a little bit, and there were some guesses on the comments. I was reading through it, and there were some people that were close and some people that were closer, we'll say. I don't want to give away too much here, but a very exciting guest is going to be joining us. We're going to have him on the podcast next week leading up to Bark River, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot to say about making his way back up to that racetrack that he did so well at.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's going to be cool to see him, and we've known him for a long, long time, and it's going to be great to have him back around the facility and get to share the best sport in the world, like we love to call it. And it's going to be awesome at Bark River, seeing new faces, seeing some old faces, and seeing a lot more trucks and cars. And this sport's starting to grow the way it should be, and I'm excited.
I'm excited too, man. Like I said a little while ago, you have me so revved up, I wish it was this weekend and not next weekend. But alas, we'll have to wait one more week for it. But something you don't have to wait a week for, fans, you can do it right now. Just visit amsoil.com. You can find all the products that will protect and maximize performance in every vehicle you have, whether it's your daily driver or your side-by-sides or any motorized toys you use year-round. You can use the convenient Amsoil product guides to find what you need and get fast shipping directly to your doorstep. Amsoil, run with us.
Well, Shane, I think the people are tired of listening to us, so let's catch up with our next guest.
Well, our next guest on the Champ Off-Road podcast presented by Amsoil is riding a 3-race win streak in mod cart. Carter Vandenhoevel, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, so usually we start these things, we ask, you know, how'd you get started in off-road? But your story is pretty well known. Third generation off-road racer. You know, I was kind of born into this. Brent discovered off-road as a really little kid. You were like super born into this.
Yeah, I think I'm losing some hearing from the amount of times I've been around a lot of race car engines since I'm tiny. But yeah, I think everybody knows my story pretty well because you guys give it to them pretty often.
Hey, we like our racetrack kids.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the perks of being a racetrack kid. People know you.
So when you were that little kid at the racetrack, you know, did you actively want to get into off-road racing as a driver, or was it something that felt almost more inevitable?
Obviously I wanted it, but we knew it was coming. Like my grandpa and grandma like told me that they're working on getting trophy carts back into it. Since I was probably 5 or 6 years old, I'd be watching the trophy cart races at the time the Lucas Oil Series out west. I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm gonna do. We just gotta get these cars out here. And it happened, and I think it was like 2013 we did an exhibition year, and then 2014 was first points year, and I won title and world championship range and stuff that year. So yeah, it was pretty much inevitable, but that doesn't mean I wanted it any less. But yeah,
do you remember back in the time when you started years back who you ran with?
I could name them all off, and a lot of them are still racing. I did three years. I could name off quite a few people that I raced against that still race. So there's me. My teammate Gage Garvin, he moved to North Carolina, so he's out of it. I raced against Troy Johnson. He just got out of it last year. Obviously, the biggest one, the one people would think of, is Owen Benefren, just absolutely killing it in pro UTV stuff. Braden Boshaw, killing it in super stock now. He was one of the big players then. There's a kid named Jason Folkman for like a year, the first year. Chad Ward's daughters.
Right.
Zach and Paige Rohanowitz, both still racing. I took 7 years off, and I come back, and I'm still racing Zach. I can't get away from him.
A lot of memories, though, hey? A lot of memories. What's your favorite?
Yeah, what do you remember about racing against all those kids? Because just a couple weeks ago, we had Cole Mamer on the show, and he was talking about the, like, ridiculous number of people that he raced against out in mod carts out west. Guys like Bradley Morris and Jarrett Brooks and those guys. But this short course kart class that you were in, like you said, these are becoming the big names here in the Midwest. So what are your memories of racing against those guys when you were all kids?
The biggest memories was probably some good battles with Owen Benefren and Gage Garden and Easton Sleeper as well. And then I only raced against him for 1 year, but I raced against John Holter. He's going to be in 3 pro truck classes coming up here. Like, yeah, we had a stacked group, but if I had to pick one favorite memory, it was a battle with Zach for that day's win. But I made a pass on the last lap, win the 2014 World Championship, and I locked up the points championship with that pass too. So, yeah, Zach might not like hearing being reminded about that one, but yeah, my World Championship win race has got to be my favorite memory.
Well, you said it feels like you can't get away from him. He's probably thinking the same thing coming into Antigo this year. Like, dang, that Carter kid's back again.
Yeah, he had my number the first half of the year, but I'm starting to get it back. And yeah, it's crazy to be to come back and like, well, yeah, one thing never changes. Me versus Zach Rang.
So you stepped out in after 2016, you said?
Yeah, 2016 was my last year in short course carts, and we tried to get things going a couple different times. A big part of it was my dad was kind of over it, but we tried to get buggy programs going a couple times. It never really worked out, and got really lucky that Jake Vandevort had a cart that he wants to fill the field with. It was Chase Miller drove it the last couple of years, and he aged out of the class, so he needed a driver. Picks me.
What did you do when you were out of short course for that 7 years?
Okay, that's a good thing to bring up, because I actually think this benefits me a lot, because I mean, obviously it would have benefited me more to be in short course, but I've been riding and racing a lot of motocross and some mountain bike stuff too, but motocross is the main thing, and I think that really benefits me when we go to tracks that have softer dirt and get rutty and choppy and stuff like ERX, and especially like Saturday at Lena. I think I even said it in my podium interview. It was huge. My motocross experience was huge in that, because I know how to get around rough and ruddy tracks. I think that's why I was able to. I mean, Zach was challenging me that day, but everybody else, we kind of ran away with it that day.
So Carter, you've been running mod cart now, okay? You're back under. You're in the seat. You're ready to rock and roll. I mean, your year didn't really start out really like healthy, but with a podium, then you went like a roller coaster, went down with some mechanical problems, and then you ended up making history in any class with that mod cart win. That had to be so cool but so stressful at the same time.
I'd like to say that race was stressful, because it definitely appears to be that way watching it, but I've got the best spotter in the world on my headset with my Uncle Mikey, and he keeps me calm the whole time. Part of what he does is it's really just keep the driver calm. Like if you're calm, you're driving better. And yeah, and freaked out driver is never good, because that's when you're going to start making mistakes. So as much as I'd like to say that was a stressful and drive the wheels off of it race, it's really not. It's all about trying to calm it down and just be as smooth as you can. That's how I ended up getting it done. I will say the few times that first win with Avery Hemmer, a few times it got a little bit, because I could see her trying to poke in, especially right at that last corner. But other than that, I did pretty calm.
What about the feeling right afterwards? So you take the checkered flag. Like Brent said, it was the closest finish in Champ Off Road history of any class, pro, sportsman, anything. What was the feeling? You take the helmet off and you're back on top of the podium. What was that like after being away for so long?
Well, the first feeling I had was like a bit of nervousness, because I crossed the line. And I could see Avery coming up alongside me. I have no idea if I won the race or not. It was like halfway back around the lap back to come back to the podium before I knew. And once I knew, that was probably the best feeling I've ever had in my life, because it really took a lot of work to get back to this. And I didn't know if I'd ever get another chance to race. So that was pretty cool. I probably screamed static on the radio for a minute straight.
That's awesome.
And it seems like that one opened the floodgates, because then we go to Dirt City round 7 and 8, and you swept there. Is this the kind of success that you thought you'd have as a rookie in mod kart?
Kind of, because, I mean, I have high expectations of myself. So my expectations were probably a little higher than anybody else's were. But I was like, everybody around me, like all my family and stuff, we know what we're capable of, and especially with the people I have around me. Like, it took a little longer than we wanted, but I think this is where I belong and where I expected to be. So it's pretty cool to finally be at where we are. After that start of the season, I wasn't sure if I was going to get there, but we got the car there, and then I got there as a driver. And yeah, so as maybe tacky as that sounds, this is where I expected to be, is competing for race wins. And
I've known you for a long time now, Carter, and I know Shane would agree as well, is we don't think you're cocky. You're confident, and you're around the people, like you said, and I can agree with you, because when you're around those good people, and who you're around is a big thing, and the worth ethic that your Uncle Mikey has, it's hard to beat at the track no matter who he's with. So, I mean, keep thinking positive, and I mean, you got to be on cloud 9 during this year, not even knowing if you were going to race in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This year was really awesome, especially like this winter. I found out, okay, the ride, the seat's yours. And then at one point, mod cart was going to get shut down as a class. And that got fought pretty heavily and ended up retracted that. And part of that is because we got some additional car count. Like the car count was struggling bad last year. So,
hey, just to clear the air on that, Carter, Brent and I had no part of that decision. I love me some mod cart, man.
Please.
I know you guys love the class, but, and you know, honestly, I get it. Like the last year or two, it's been pretty low car count, but we're getting back up and people are starting to recognize how good of a class this is developmental wise. Like there's not many classes you're going to learn more than in driving the mod cart. Like if you really like, especially that's more like that, the ladder to like the pro trucks and stuff. You're going to learn a whole lot more from driving a mod cart than you are from driving a 570 side-by-side. Like it, like that just doesn't transfer. So it's cool to see the class getting back up. And I think it's only going to get more exciting and get bigger the next couple of years here.
Hey, so looking ahead to the rest of this year, now you've obviously got the momentum. You're in the points chase. Is a championship on your mind, or are you just out to win races? What's your goal looking at the rest of this year with four rounds left?
So the championship's definitely, it's in the back of my mind. And the reason it's probably not farther forward in my mind is because with the experimental motor package we're running, there's me and one other car. We're running 450 motors as opposed to the 400 XCs that are, they're bored out to 440. We're down on horsepower a little bit because we have to leave our motors stock and run the stock exhaust. But because it's an experimental package, I get taken out of the points awards at the end of the year. But like, if I finish with the most amount of points, I'm gonna consider myself the champion. I don't really care if I get recognized or get the money for it or not. It's not like the money was gonna go in my pocket.
I love it. You just want to win, right, Carter?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely not out there competing for third place. But I want to win races. And right now, the main goal is I'm a little far back in the points because of my start this season. My main goal right now is to be the one to win the most races, and it's not out of the picture. Yeah, I think Porter has four and I'm at three.
Do you think going into this year, I mean, you knew it was going to take a little bit of learning, but I know you're confident, but did it take you a little bit to shake off that rust?
To get to the peak of my driving ability, yes, but I feel like I got pretty close right away. I was right there, right from the start, even from our preseason Lena race. Like I got a third and a second right off the bat, but say I was driving at 90% of what I'm capable of, I'd say I'm a lot closer to 100 now, but I got back to most of the way right away. And it's taking right. A little bit longer to get all the way. Most of that's just the racecraft ability, not so much as the pace.
What's the hardest part about driving one of those trucks?
The shift is tricky. Yeah, the shift points are very difficult.
Do you have to shift it really hard or do you have to be easy on it?
It really depends what car you've got, how you've got it set up. But like, especially in my car, because the stock exhaust I've got on it, if I'm by other cars, it's a little bit harder to hear my own car. But I mean, yeah, I'm starting to get pretty good at when to shift. But as the race goes on and the car heats up, you got to be really careful with your shifts, because otherwise it won't just jab and the shifter quick won't shift all the way. You got to really be careful about it. So that's what I'm figuring out as I go on. And I'm starting to get down, but yeah, the shifting is definitely the hardest part of driving that race car.
Even though you were out of short course for 7 years, you know, coming back to it, was there anything that just seemed to really come naturally? Obviously, mod cart is wildly different than short course cart. It's off-road in a four-wheeled vehicle is wildly different than motocross. But was there anything that just felt like you were home right away?
My throttle control I've kept up on that very well. Like just throttle control coming out of corners and stuff. I felt like I picked that up pretty much immediately. Like I felt right at home. Even though we didn't slide the short course carts around as much, I felt like I had pretty good control of my counter steering and driving it when the car is sideways right away. And most of that wasn't really from racing short course cart. It was mostly from driving around a two-wheel drive Ford Ranger in the winter.
I swear that's the same reason why youpers are good when they jump into like stock truck or super stock truck.
Yeah, you slide the truck around in the winter. That's how you get your fix in the summer.
They've always said that though. Hey Shane, like growing up, I swear, like a lot of people have from Bark River, Crandon area, like they don't realize they come in the Midwest. I feel like that's why Chad Horde was so good, because those roads up in Felch, Michigan, those aren't too nice.
Right, driving the logging roads.
You get counter steering and sliding practice all winter.
Oh yeah, right downtown Bark River, we used to do it with Josh Hintz and my brother. We used to go around and hit the e-brake going up and down through Bark River after hours, obviously. Hey, we'd
after hours, that makes it sound worse.
No. After, like, you know, it would snow or something, we'd go through Bark River and hit the e-brake. No, sober, promise.
You're incriminating yourself, Smitty.
Not at all. It wasn't nothing to be bad.
Hey, so, Carter, you mentioned a few of the drivers that you're out there racing against. Obviously, Porter and Glazy is wicked fast. Hunter Van Zyl, Zach Rahanowitz, those guys are, like, hardcore veteran drivers, really tough to race against. Avery Hemmer, Tristan Hinton have both really come a long way the last couple of years. What's the most exciting part to you to race against such a talented group?
Honestly, what I'm most excited about with the group of people I'm racing against right now, I think they're going to be a lot like this. I'm really excited for this next younger group next year. Like, I'm going to watch every mod cart race. I mean, obviously, I'm done after this year, but like, you've got Avery Hemmer, you got Tristan Hinted, Gavin Plummer, Lincoln Monsager, Ella Holter, Colin Tatel, Carter Zahara. Next year we'll have Race Visser and Wesley Vandenbort moving up as well. It's going to be a really competitive group of kids going through the mod cart ranks the next years, and I really think it's going to be impossible to predict who's going to win from one race to another. Like, that's probably not exactly the question you asked. They're a fun group of people to race against now, but I think watching this next year's batch of mod cart kids is going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be such good battles.
Can you single out any of those drivers that you just mentioned who you think is going to go way far beyond Modkart? Like, who's the next Owen Van Epperen out of the kids that you just mentioned?
That's a tough one.
It could be any of them, really.
Carter Vandenhoevel.
That's the hope.
Right.
I'll probably go ahead and be pretty biased and pick my teammate Wesley Vandenbort. His ability to set up passes at such a young age is really incredible. Like, he's had a little bit of a rough luck spot this year, but, like, even going back to the last year or two, like, the last 2 years, like, you watch his ability to pick apart a field compared to all the other kids, and it's pretty cool. He's got it.
That's what I remember about him a lot last year when he was, it seemed like he was on the podium quite a bit last year. It's like you never see him make a pass, but then it's coming down to the last lap or two, and he's, you know, battling for second all of a sudden.
Yeah, He's very good at setting up his passes, corners ahead, and he's really smooth about it. Like, he's never even going to go endorse somebody for a pass. He just knows how to set him up and get by him.
He's very patient, too.
Yes, yeah. He's really got a lot of talent, and he's going to go far.
So you mentioned your teammate, Wes Vandenbort. He's moving up to mod cart sometime in the maybe not too distant future. How much have you sort of coached him up, preparing him for that, and what are your expectations for how quickly he'll pick it up once he's in mod cart?
We haven't really talked a ton about it yet. I offered to have to, while his car's being done, to have him drive mine around and just get used to it, and I could give him a few pointers and stuff, but they decided not to because he's going a different route with the clutching system they use. I've got like a motocross style hand clutch right mounted on my sticker, and he's going to go with the traditional three pedal system and have a foot clutch.
Oh, okay.
He's been doing a lot of practicing with the clutch and stuff on iRacing, which I haven't personally had a lot of experience with, but for some people, especially for the younger kids, they find it as a great tool for that. But once he gets driving in the car and stuff, I'm definitely going to be helping him out. I'd like to stay around them and support them however I can for as long as I'm around the sport, even after I'm done driving for Jake. I don't think you'll see him make huge waves this season. He'll do solid. He'll be in the field, but I think most of his focus is on trying to win this short course kart championship.
Right.
But I think come next year when he's full time, you're going to be surprised. I think he's going to do really well.
How much does he get from you right now being your teammate while he's racing in short course kart?
I don't really know. I think he had it well before I got there. Like, he's so successful in the amount of race wins and podiums he has. I don't think he really needs me in the short course cart. I mean, I give him a pointer here or there, but he's pretty good on his own.
Let's turn that question upside down. Is there anything that you've picked up from him? I mean, I think he actually has more short course racing seasons than you do under his belt. So have you learned anything from him?
I'd say the biggest thing I can learn from him is, this isn't anything I learned just from him, but he's very calm. I can watch that and see his success and mimic that. And that's what my uncles are always pushing on me is, You gotta be calm to win races. You can't get fired up. And I think that's something I've noticed with Wesley a lot, is he's very good at being calm and relaxed. And that's probably one of the biggest things I can take from him.
So Carter, coming into Bark River, I know we're talking a lot about like experience and people around you. I mean, what about the people in your circle? I know you got Uncle Matt, you got Uncle Mikey. I mean, you have Grandpa, you have Chad Rayford. I mean, a lot of people that you look up to. How much do you take away from them? And I know they give you a lot of experience to watch what they do, but what do you take out of it to make you a better driver?
Everybody that is around me is masters of racecraft and learning how a track develops. Like, I think that was the main reason that I was able to win at Lena. At the halfway point, Uncle Mike comes on the radio for me and says, hey, get wide. Like, I know I was telling you to go wide, but get way wide. Like the lines your grandfather would run. He can see the way the track's developing, that the inside is out, has no traction left. The outside is gonna be where all the traction was. So really everybody around me knows racecraft and knows how a track's develop, and it's huge for me.
Do they all talk to you and take their own, like, minute with you or half hour with you after your race? I know you say you take in everything, but I mean, is there certain things you only grab from Uncle Mike and certain things you grab from Grandpa, or do you take it all in?
I take in as much as I can from everybody, but I'd say the two main people that I take most of my information from is my Uncle Mike. He's the one giving it to me as I'm racing. My Uncle Matt Gerald, master in buggies, he gives me a lot. And this year, Chad Rayford, obviously, not biologically my uncle, but basically another uncle to me, been around me my whole life. But really, another person that's been a big help to me, not only with his shop company, but with some stuff he learns and picks up, he'll watch from a different point of view and tell me some stuff, is Dylan Parsons has been a help to me as well.
So you mentioned that you're one and done in mod cart. You're going to be too old next year. You kind of touched on this, but do you have your eyes on a move next year, or do you have like a 3-year plan to jump into a different class, different truck maybe?
We have ideas, and I have no doubt everybody's going to help me figure out something, but we don't have anything locked in as of now. Like, we're not 100% sure what the future holds for me. So yeah, if there's any car owners out there that want to put somebody
on. Look at this. Hey.
Feel free to come over and talk to me about Cooper training. But no, I'm sure I know everybody in my family wants me to be able to keep going, especially with the year I've had.
I think you'll be all right, buddy. I mean, there's probably a lot of people thinking, well, you know, man, they're putting their own foot in their mouth, because they probably like, well, Carter says he's going to do this and do that, and he doesn't see any track time for 6-7 years, and look at what you're doing. So you're doing what you need to do, and you're making a lot of people proud.
Yeah, car owners out there, you can find him on Instagram at Carter_VandenHoovel_77, and he does answer his DMs, just so you know. Hey, so Carter, while we got you, I think you know off-road racing in general probably just about as well as we do, if not better. So
nobody knows more than you, but...
Oh, come on. I appreciate it, but you don't have to lie to us. Let's talk about some of the other classes. I want to get your thoughts on some of these classes. So Pro 2, you got Corey Winner, Mickey Thomas, Ryan Beat, that first to third group separated by 8 points. You got a prediction for that one? How do you see it playing out? You know, who's your pick out of those three?
I think as you get down to the end of the season, it's going to come down to Mickey Thomas versus Corey Winner. Ryan Beat started the year off really hot, but he's kind of been cooling off a little bit. And I think just as Mickey Thomas and Corey Winner are getting hot, Corey is always going to be right there. He's the most consistent guy in the class. But I really think it's going to come down to how well Mickey can get off the starts. Because if he gets out front, he's the fastest guy in the class. There's no catching him. But I think it's going to be a really good battle between Mickey and Corey. And if Mickey gets the hole shots at Crandon, there's no catching him. He's gone.
Yeah, breakdowns and stuff like that, you can't throw that in. You know, it's like good luck, bad luck. I mean, if they all stay healthy, that's what we like to see. And I think Rowdy Ryan Beat, he's fast when he's fast as well. But Mickey Thomas, he gets out in Crandon and he usually just runs away and hides. So Corey, he knows what it feels like to finish second. So I'm sure he's ready to put his foot on the loud pedal the rest of the year, and he's very consistent.
Yeah, I think it comes down to single digit points again, like it has the last couple of years now.
It probably will, but if I had to at this point pick one, as much as I know Corey's not going to like me saying this, being my kind of Tyrese teammate and all, but with how fast he is at Crandon, if Mickey Thomas is in the points hunt, like, and close at Crandon, I don't think there's any beating him there. He's too good. He's too fast there. So my guess would be Mickey Thomas. And there's another bias there because I think everybody knows my Uncle Mikey's involved with him too. So yeah, sorry, Corey, but...
I think you should really apologize to Ryan Beat more than anybody.
Yeah, you haven't said much about him. He's going to be pissed. No.
You know, I know Mickey and Corey more personally too. And Ryan's fast, but right now I think it's going to be down to Corey and Mickey. And I know those guys both know me better than I know Ryan. So I think they'll be all right with what I've got to say there.
So here's another one for you. You've not yet raced a buggy, but you have buggy racing baked into your DNA. Mark Steinhardt, who has won championships before you were born, is, I think, 13 points out of first in pro buggy. Does he have a shot? Can Steiny outrun Father Time? Can he beat the odds?
He can definitely outrun Father Time, but I think the real question is he going to outrun Billy Booth?
I can't believe how fast Billy got from the start of last year to the end of last year, and then to come out swinging like he has.
Oh yeah, and it's very impressive. But Billy's a very good driver, and they put a lot of hard work into that program, I know. But I think, aside from maybe Pro Light, that's my favorite pro class to watch right now, is Pro Buggies. It's really, really good racing. And it's going to come right down to it again.
I agree.
I'd love to see it be a three-way fight. And I know there's another guy in that mix that's capable of it, and he's just had a rough year, Michael Meister. He has to have had, like, if there's a tough luck award at the banquet every year, I know there's no way he can't win that.
Right, he's earned that. He definitely has earned that, and it's sad. But
what do they say every year? That's the award nobody wants to win.
Step up to the dotted line.
Hey, yeah, how closely do you watch Pro 4? Because what I've seen is looking at the standings and looking at the results this year and the way some races have played out, do you think Jimmy Henderson is that dude all of a sudden?
At certain tracks, yeah. I think there's tracks that he struggles at a little bit more. Like, you didn't see him nearly as competitive at ERX as you saw him at Crandon. But, like, and Lena's kind of an unknown because I don't think we really got to fully see what would have played out that day. But he's definitely taken a giant step forward from any previous year, and at Crandon he might be the man. He convincingly was faster than CJ. We haven't seen any man do that aside from a guy named Kyle LeDuc the last couple of years.
So we see that battle go on with CJ Greaves and Jimmy Henderson, Carter. Like, do you believe, I've been thinking about it since that day. It was a great battle. Like, everyone's throwing them a door. I love it. But do you think it came down to tires as well? I mean, I know you're on Kenda tires and supporting that group, but honestly, was that a tire game too?
Which race?
That showdown race when he blocked past Jimmy Henderson, CJ, when everybody was all getting all antsy about it right at the end of the race, and then Henderson won.
Yeah, round four it created.
I mean, maybe this could be a tire thing, but it looked like it was one of the rare occasions that Henderson could outbreak CJ there, which was not often you see CJ getting somebody taking it deeper into the corner than him, but that's what it seemed like to me.
I like how spicy this has been. just you giving your thoughts on things. So let's see if we can upset someone closer to your inner circle. Is this Connor's beer and light buggy? Oh no, we're talking about light buggy. We can't go a whole podcast without talking about light buggy. So is this Connor's year finally to win the championship?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. It's always been Connor and Colin are, they're essentially the same driver in some aspects. Like they've got the same speed, but contrary to most years, Connor's been the one that stayed consistent and Colin's had a couple of rough races. I think that's all it took, and that's what it's going to flip it. I think Connor's going to get it done.
I think what I've noticed about light buggy too is when those two really hit full stride, they were like miles and miles ahead of everybody. And it's taken a couple of years, but I think there's a lot of other guys who are closer to that ability now that, you know, they raised the level of the whole class. And it's tougher for them now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's people that are catching up to them, and there's a lot of guys starting to really, really come into their own and be good drivers. I think the one that sticks out to me the most, aside from obviously that their other teammate, Taylor Roloff, he can compete with him on his day. But the guy that stuck out to me the most this year is Evan Hockers.
Yeah.
I think last year he got a couple podiums when it was wet, but this year he can do it in any condition. He's right up there at the front. And Evan Hockers has taken a huge step forward.
He made the reputation for himself first as a mud track driver, just like your Grandpa Dan once did.
I guess maybe that's why I won when they soaked the track. It's just mud man.
Hey, so we don't want to keep you too long here, but looking ahead, Bark River, rounds 9 and 10, you know, what are your thoughts on that track compared to, you know, everything else that Champ Off-Road has to offer? Are you excited to get back on the track up there?
Oh, 100%. I think my car's going to be ton of fun to drive on that track. We take the cutoff, so I don't get the full Bark River experience, but so it's probably my second favorite track on the calendar. It's a lot of people, and I know a lot of people around me, like my Uncle Matt, absolutely loves Bark River and it's his favorite, but I'd say it's my second favorite track to ERX. I think ERX is just a ton of fun to drive, but I'm excited to race Bark River and something with some actual power. Should be a blast.
You just really badly want to launch that cart off the big jump, don't you?
I think going out in the back jumps and then throwing it into the corner after the jump would be the most fun, because I don't think the mod carts would get a ton of air off of that jump, but
sure.
There is a cemetery over there. You know that, right?
Yeah, my Uncle Mike, he almost landed in it jumping the Pro 2 a couple years ago. He was just telling us that story tonight. As I was saying, they should make those jumps bigger. He's like, no, they shouldn't. I almost landed in the cemetery.
Hey, that's Bark River's where I got to race a super stock truck, and those three jumps going into cemetery turn, I came in the middle. Which
hey,
was,
come on, Shane. There's only two jumps.
There was three when I raced.
There was three. I got to back them up. There was, yeah. You were in diapers, but there was three.
Yeah, I cased it into the second one, and then I got to see the front bumper of the truck scoop dirt out of the face of the third. So I was like, I was within inches of being in the cemetery myself, I guess.
Leave the track prep to the staff.
How confident are you, Carter, that you can keep this momentum going?
I think I'll be right up there again. It's going to be tough to beat Porter and Glazy.
Sure.
He's such a strong driver, and he's got the home track advantage here. I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine those guys got hundreds of laps on that track. So it'll be tough to beat him at Bark River. He's very strong there, and he's a very good driver in general. And I've got a lot of tough competition, but I'd like to think I can keep it going. For sure on the podium, not going to act like I'm going to win the rest of the races for the year, but I think I can be right up there.
Nice. Loving the confidence. We appreciate you spending some time with us, and we look forward to seeing what you can do at Bark River and the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you up in Bark River here next weekend.
Sounds good.
Well, Brent, I don't know about you, but I think the theme of this whole episode is I cannot wait to get to Bark River. It was awesome to talk to Carter there. You know, I think we've talked about this during the racing. The points battle is really starting to take shape. Bark River is going to make those points battles come into focus a little bit more. There's a lot riding on what we have going on in rounds 9 and 10, but we're going to have one more show between now and then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be an amazing time at Bark River, but first, we're going to catch up with another guest. And
For Shane Stetsny, I'm Brent Smith, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by AMSOIL.